Hello, dear listener, and welcome to Spiritual Balance Podcast. My name is Joy, and I'm also the author of the book Spiritual Balance. Through this podcast, I'm bringing you the content of my book. Each episode will cover a new chapter. I hope you like it. In our previous episode, we looked at how to deal with accusations, and in our today's episode, we shall look at how to deal with sin. So first of all, deal with guilt. Guilt is the feeling you get after doing something wrong. None of us can claim to be holy. We are all flesh and blood and still going through transformation by the Holy Spirit to be perfected like our Creator. As you go through the transformation process, you'll make mistakes on the way, but how you respond to the mistakes you commit is the challenge. You know that sin separates you from God. Every time you sin, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside you convicts you and leaves you guilty. Guilt is characterized by sorrow, regret, anger, and pain. These feelings are mostly directed to you. If guilt is not dealt with, it can lead to suicide. Guilt makes you feel empty and unworthy to go even before God in prayer. It makes you feel like the love of God has been taken away from you. You feel down, back in your spiritual journey, and even imagine that you have missed your blessing that was just around the corner. When going through guilt, you want to stay alone. When any bad thing happens in your life, you think it is a punishment from God. You think everybody knows what you did, and whenever you see people talk, you assume they're discussing you. Guilt is a thief. It's after your joy, progress, and peace. If you have no peace, you cannot operate normally. The devil uses guilt to make you confess defeat and failure so that they will become real in your life. Know that no amount of guilt will change your past or future. Do not allow guilt in your life. Do not bow to it. Do not allow it to consume you. It should never put you down. Move on. To move on, first, forgive yourself by accepting that it has happened and that it is not the end of everything. Life has to go on. After forgiving yourself, go before God in prayer. Lock your room, confess your sins to Him. Tell Him how you feel because of your sin and cast your sorrow, pain, anxiety onto Him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you." Empty your heart before God, be sorry for your sins, believe that He has forgiven you because the Word of God says once He forgives you, He throws your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. The Word of God says in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." After making it right with God, if it is someone you wronged, it's good to reach out to that person, confess your sins, and ask for forgiveness. Confession of sin sets you free from the bondage of guilt. Whether they accept your forgiveness or not, God is the Supreme Court of all the Supreme Courts. It is registered in heaven that confession of sin was done, and you went further to seek for forgiveness. Strong and humble people reach out to say sorry. You never know. God can sometimes allow you to make some mistakes so that you can learn to say sorry. Sorry is a gentle answer. It swallows one's pride. If this is what God wants you to learn, accept and learn. Confessing your wrong does not mean forgetting what you did, but it means you accept and continue living since you cannot undo what has already happened. Learn from your mistakes and know that a bright future is waiting for you. Guilt should not hold you back. Number two, repentance. Sin separates you from God. That is why the devil accuses you before God day and night, so that your relationship with God is destroyed. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." The flesh is always in fight with the spirit. Given that you are made of flesh and blood, you will find yourself sinning unwillingly. To keep your relationship with God, you need to evaluate yourself daily, confess and repent of any wrong you have done that will destroy your good relationship with God. The devil will find nothing to accuse you of when you repent. When you repent, God is faithful to forgive you of your sins. Repentance is acknowledging acknowledging that you have sinned, confessing your sins, and changing by not repeating the same mistake. When you return to God and say sorry for your sins, they are blotted out. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come through the Lord." For you to progress in your spiritual walk, repentance is key. You cannot progress while walking on the wrong road. You need to turn back, repent, and take the right direction. When your spiritual life progresses, your physical life progresses too, and vice versa. The Word of God says in Matthew 3:8, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." Whenever rules are broken, punishment is incurred. Likewise, when you sin, some consequences await you. But when you return to repent, the punishment awaiting you is reversed. Our God is loving and merciful. However, if you do not repent, you suffer the consequences of your sins. Luke 15:13 says, "Not at all, and you will perish too, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God." However, when you repent, you enjoy His mercies and your punishment is withdrawn. Exodus 32:14 says, "Then the Lord relented and did not bring on His people the disaster He had threatened." Number 3, forgiveness. As a true believer, you are a child of God. Your Father God wants to see you live together in harmony. He wants you to treat others the way you would love to be treated. In your Christian walk, you'll find yourself wronging those who interact with you often. When you wrong them, you have learned that you need to confess your wrongs and ask them for forgiveness. As a true believer, apart from asking for forgiveness from others, you should also be quick to forgive others when they ask for forgiveness from you. Luke 17:3 says, "So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them." Just the same way you will want to be forgiven when you ask for forgiveness, you need to extend the same act of kindness to others. If you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you when you seek mercy from Him. For Matthew 6:15 says, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." If you do not forgive others, God will not only fail to forgive you, but also your offerings and sacrifices will not be accepted by God. Our God is holy. He looks at your heart. If your heart is not clean, everything else you give to Him is not clean. Matthew 23:24 says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, therefore, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar first. Go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." When you forgive others, do it with love and humility. If you can still remember the wrongs others did to you many years ago, then you haven't forgiven them. Emulate the character of God. He's full of love. When He forgives you, He casts your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Micah 7:19 says, "You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." Forgiveness is the highest and beautiful form of love. In return, you will receive untold peace and happiness. I quote, this is from Robert Mullen. Number 4, judging others. When other people do wrong, do not be quick to point your finger at them, forgetting that you are also a sinner and you are not perfect. The Word of God says in Psalms 130:3 to 4, "Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, would ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. Do not be quick to judge others nor to speak quickly, but be a good listener, for the same measure you use to judge others will be used against you. The ears of God are very open to every word that comes out of your mouth. It is very easy to point a finger at a parent going through challenges in parenting a teenager, because you have not parented one. It is also easy to talk about a couple going through issues in their marriage because you haven't been in a marriage. Every word that comes out of your mouth negatively will be used against you. When you condemn others, God ensures that you exactly go through what they went through. It's better to keep quiet or pray for them who sin, lest you fall in their shoes. Luke 6:37 says, do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Mostly when you do wrong, you feel guilty. This guilt is characterized by pain, sorrow, anxiety, and anger. You just wish you had a close friend you would confess your silly mistakes to. And this friend stands with you in prayer, encourages you, and guides you accordingly without disclosing to the whole world. This is the kind of friendship you need to show to others when they do wrong. Correct them gently with love, knowing that you are also not perfect. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Not everything that happens in your life is from Satan. God allows some things to happen in your life to change you. God can allow you to make a great mistake that leaves you blaming yourself, angry, regretting, but His goal is to work on your integrity. When you point fingers at people, be careful. You may be pointing at God. As a true believer, pray to God for repentance. When you make even the slightest mistakes, as long as it is against God's will, imagine condemning and talking negatively about a person who sinned and has already made it right with God in the place of prayer. There is only one judge, leaving judgment to Him. Him alone knows our hearts. If you cannot pray or rebuke others with love when they make mistakes, keep silent. James 4:12 says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who can save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? I hope you enjoyed this chapter of my book. If you found it helpful, please send me a message and let me know. In our next episode, we shall look at grace. Thank you for listening.